Hey, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. Oh, boy. Lions. Not a win. Not a loss. A tie. That's right. You know it. A tie. We sat there for 3.5 hours, watched many turnovers, ran for over 200 yards, and ended up with a tie. So, that's what happened. We'll be talking about that. Jared Goff, Anthony Lynn, Dan Campbell, defense, Sewell, Decker. We got it all, baby. So sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog.
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything. We got it here. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, ready to talk the Lions game over the Steelers. It wasn't a win. It wasn't a loss. It was a tie. A tie.
Yeah. We're not going 0-17.
Yep, no 0-17.
The second time since we started this podcast that there's been a tie. The last one being against the Cardinals. In both games, we had the lead and then blew the lead and ended up with a tie. So, rough one to swallow, I guess. But we can get into all this. But before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew on Big Z. Let's get to the rest. So we got UJ.
I hate ties.
Connor.
Yo.
Red Dog.
Yo.
And Bob.
Hello, hello.
All right, gentlemen, so let's dive into this game, shall we? And I think we should start on the defensive side of the ball. Let's start with the positive side.
Because
I thought, besides that first drive, the defense just really stepped up in this game and, you know, gave us our best chance to win all year. And it's, you know, the defense has had some bad weeks, like against the Eagles, against the Bengals. But overall, they're the unit that's given us the best chance to win all these games. And yet another game without the offense scoring 20 points.
Yep,
for sure.
But who stood out to you guys on defense a lot in this game?
Man, that's a tough one. There's a lot.
I'm going to start with somebody. I think Tracy Walker, again, played really good. Laid the wood, although he got the wood laid to him a little bit by the quarterback on that one.
Yeah.
Will Harris. He's got a concussion, also. Though. Pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, we got to give him a shout out for a rare shout out. Will Harris.
I'd say Awarie and Jacobs, after a rough start, settled into both play really good games.
Yeah.
Yep.
And who's that other cornerback that was playing?
Mark
Gilbert. He's the one that got beat down the sideline and forced the fumble.
Yeah, that was.
I know
incredible.
He had a bad play or two, but man, I'm telling you, he played a really good game generally. I mean, he had the bad play, but he came back and caused the fumble to make up for it. I mean, that was awesome.
An incredible effort.
It was awesome.
That whole if I told you, yeah,
and
go
he
ahead.
Drew
guys.
That
I was just
going to
say that whole secondary has been remarkably sound considering where we started out this year.
Yeah,
like very impressed.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was actually impressed at how they handled the front seven handled Najee Harris for the most part. He still had a good effective day, but like. He never went off on us, and that was their best weapon.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, every 105 yards rushing on 26 carries. The D-line did take a bad read on the Mason Rudolph 26-yard run.
Yeah, Pennacini blew that play.
That was the worst play of the the whole defense was, that was terrible.
But not a terrible game from our defensive line. No sacks in this game, though.
That was the problem. There was a lot of pressure, but no one was getting off their blocks.
And that was on 50 pass attempts. Mason Rudolph threw it 50 times in this game.
That's crazy. God.
30 for 50 he's for 242 good. And a touchdown. No, he is not. No, he is not. As evidence on the one interception that we had, which was pretty much a freebie.
Ever since he got his head smacked by that Browns player, he's been seeing three footballs out there. So it's been tough for him.
Oh, Mason Rudolph?
Yeah.
Yeah, where Myles Garrett with the head helmet swing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Mason Rudolph definitely wasn't impressive. This weather was pretty rough, though. Cold and rainy. But, yeah. I mean, not an excuse by any means.
No, weather is never an excuse in football. Never, ever, right. Ever is weather an excuse.
Because,
ever.
I mean, we can go to it now, but the kicker on the Steelers looked just fine. It looked like he was kicking indoors, basically. And then you go to our kicker, he looks like
I didn't feel great at all.
You know,
when we had the chance to win, I felt bad about it.
He looked like one of those special needs punt, pass, and kick competition was going on. He looked like one of those punters that has to fill in for kicking, like in an emergency. Not like a guy whose career is kicking. So
you're right. He looks like he literally stepped off a bar stool to go kick. You know, I mean,
that attempt at the game winner was so bad. That wasn't even remotely close. Man.
That was the worst kicking effort I've ever seen.
I didn't feel good about that kick at all. Like.
Ever.
He didn't even.
I don't know.
He didn't even slip. Or the.
Hey, UJ. Remember, our father has the record at Soldier Field for missing 5 extra points.
Yeah, but you know what?
High school.
His effort was still greater than Santoro's effort on that kick there.
Yeah, his were just wide
right. Question his effort.
He's had the distance.
He missed 6
they just
extra points
on point
or 5 or whatever it was.
Try to miss that many in a row.
Can't question his effort.
I agree. That's tough.
Well, the Lions are reportedly looking to work out some more kickers this week. Because Seabird apparently does not appear to be ready to come back.
I mean, he missed it.
Kind of makes you question letting Prater go, doesn't it? I know he had a bigger salary.
I saw
that,
but he had a bigger
salary.
I miss him anyway.
And it's kind of like the Stafford thing where I don't know if he wanted to come back for a rebuild this late in his career. He probably wants to try to go to a team that has a
better. You know, that's what we have to keep in perspective in this whole thing that we are rebuilding, okay?
Retooling.
It's easy to watch a game each week, get all pissed off because we lost or tied or whatever. But if we look at the bigger picture, step back a little bit and see what they're doing, I think they're still going in the right direction. So it's just hard to do that when you're watching a game on Sunday and you're living and dying with every play.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Especially with Goff at quarterback at this stage.
Yeah.
Whoa. That was your preseason MVP for the league.
Yeah, even as of last game, you were
tide has turned.
It's called drinking the Kool-Aid. Maybe you guys should try it sometime. I mean, can anyone really argue at this point that he is not painful?
I think he had 54 yards in regulation of passing.
I might be slightly delusional, but I'm not that delusional.
And the second time in 4 games where he's had less than 0 yards passing in the first quarter.
And
four of 7 for 11 yards.
To put a team around him, that he could be a capable quarterback, but with what he has around him now, he is woefully undergunned.
Yeah. I'm glad I took the under on his touchdown passes at the beginning of the season.
Well, I know people were talking about him being hurt, but like every week it's a new excuse with him. Like some receivers not Steven Reed, you know,
the defense
isn't playing well. When are we going to put it on Goff to be like, okay, you need to step up. You're being paid $25 million a year.
If I told you guys that the Lions were going to run for 229 yards and get 3 turnovers and not turn over, and we don't turn over the ball, what would you say our chances of winning are? Like 99%?
Probably pretty high.
Probably
not with
five,
this team, no.
5%.
I need to hear the passing yards still. Because we're
if,
no,
if you didn't
no,
tell me what team it was, I would say the odds are high. If you told me the Lions, I'd say less than 10%.
Oh, this is we drink the blue Kool-Aid here, Connor. Come on.
We're 0-8-1.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'll try.
That's all we have. Yeah, all we have is the Kool-Aid.
We still have Troops 500 available. We can be one of the only teams to go 500 with a 17-game schedule.
Stop.
You know, it's
just stop.
You bring me nothing but pain, Red Dog, with these.
It's a spare game.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, we can focus on the offense here. I mean, well, since we're still on Goff, let's go more into that.
Let's go there.
Part of it this week Dan Campbell took over offensive play calling this week.
And he clearly doesn't trust Goff. Yeah.
Clearly.
Which is for good reason. But I got to say, Goff really screwed up that Khalif Raymond. He had him wide open.
Wide open.
Oh, my God.
And he threw it short.
Like 15 yards short. It wasn't even close.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, but
it was
horrible. They're making an excuse that he got hit while he's throwing it, that altered the throw. But you know what? He waited too long to throw it. He just... he like has to wait till the guy completely clears or something. He's got to throw the ball sooner, and he wouldn't have that problem. He just waits too long.
Yeah, UJ, I think Campbell's just covering for him by saying that there. Because
what else can Campbell do though? He's got nothing. Attack your
corner but right I now. Did think on Campbell, he could have, because he did hurt his ribs or whatever. He could have actually put in Blau and it not hurt his feelings, you know, and done the quarterback switch at least for this game,
right?
Which I kind of wish he did, but whatever.
Yeah, isn't it? It's a little frustrating to Campbell. Not even considering like doing something at the quarterback position. At least it seems.
Well, after that game, how can you not? Like, what more? How bad does Blau have to be in practice to not be considered for a start?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We don't see what's going on in practice. You know, maybe Goff still is the best thing.
I'm not convinced that these guys would be much better than him we have behind him.
Yeah, I'm sure Goff is the best we have, but I just think in this game they could have switched it up at while he could have used it just to see if it did a little spark.
And maybe spark Goff going. If you bench,
they
Goff,
literally
maybe wake him up.
I think Pittsburgh just all but abandoned defending the pass in this game at a certain point.
Completely. That was so frustrating because we were running great until the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden they just literally said, "We're just going to do nothing but stop the run," and that's all they did. And they shut their run down.
But on the plus side. With Campbell, I like the fact that they had Nelson going as a tight end and like adding a little push.
Yeah,
that
was great. Yeah, that was awesome.
The line was great, you know, for a good portion of the game. Good push.
Absolutely, yeah. DeAndre Swift, 33 carries, 130 yards, most carries since Kevin Jones. Kevin Smith. I can't remember which Kevin.
Probably Jones, I would guess, but
had like 34.
A running back stable is pretty nice. Gotta love
it. Igwebuke and Jefferson both had spectacular runs.
I know Jabbar Jefferson has a great run. They probably were, I don't know if they were planning on using Swift 33 times, but when Jefferson got hurt, they just fed him the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see Jefferson got more carries.
I don't know how Jefferson. They didn't feed Igwebuke more. They only gave him the ball like twice.
Yes.
Two times. Yeah.
Swift was 42
yard run and a 14 yard run.
I'm just saying they didn't have to necessarily just lean on Swift so hard.
But you can see the difference when a fresh pair of legs goes in there. You can just see it, you know? I mean, Swift, he was a workhorse, and God bless him. I mean, he had a great game. But, occasionally put the fresh legs in there and let him do something. And it worked out great a couple times. He should have done it a few more times. That's all I'm saying.
That Igwebuke, what an experiment he's turned out to be. He's did good kick returning, too, lately.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been good.
Safety turn running back.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, a big part of that, I think, this week, at least in terms of the run game, is Decker was back in there.
Yeah.
Sewell can go back to right tackle. And then Matt Nelson can just be that extra, the power formation edge blocker pretty much. So
yeah. Hey, can I just address that a little bit? I thought it was awesome that Decker came back and that Sewell looked great. And when he switched him back to right, he did it seamlessly.
Yeah, it looked amazing.
And it was awesome. Decker afterwards finally got to sound off on everybody who's been criticizing him. And I loved it because he's like, "I'm not going anywhere." You know, he's still pissed off at all these radio people that want to trade him and all this shit.
Because you know what? Decker's a badass.
He is.
Oh, he is.
He's a fucking badass, all right? And now he's got Sewell and him on the ends. Oh. Good God. You get Ragnow back and beef up those guards a little bit. Man, we're going to have one of the best O-lines.
That O-line's great.
Here, so.
And I got to say,
stay hopeful,
it's stupid Valeni on 97 won the ticket that's been coming after Decker all year. He's coming after all these guys all the time. He questions every single thing this franchise does. He should be abolished from the airwaves. That's what I would like to see happen.
All right. We need to arrange a wrap-off between Connor and this guy.
I don't know if anyone else listens to Detroit Sports Radio, but... I know Bob and I do.
Did you guys hear the description of his break though? He said it's like a spiral fracture and he couldn't grip with it. He said now it's like a 50-pound difference in his hand.
Right.
He can grip like 50 pounds less, so which is a big difference when you're grabbing these big linemen.
Yeah, it is, right.
Well, he's complaining about the media or coming after him about his injury and stuff. Well, just tell us then. Why are you like leaving it a big mystery? We're all wondering, like, a finger, why is it leaving him out so long? Just let us know. Then we won't question it.
I still think Decker deserves a little bit of grace, you know, because the guy's been awesome for
us.
He's
a legend.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't like the withholding of information. If he's complaining about us not knowing the extent of his injury, well, then let us know.
Zach's like Big Brother. He's like, if you don't have anything to hide, then it shouldn't be a
maybe
problem.
They don't want people targeting
show
that,
us
you know?
Everything about yourself.
I mean, a lot of teams like to be hush-hush on injuries. You know, you don't want other teams like targeting.
I know, but I'm saying if Decker had such a big problem with the hiding or the, you know, people getting mad about the extent of his injury, then say then right. talk
hey,
about
yeah.
it.
Hey, Big Z, I'm putting you on the list to send to Decker.
Yeah.
After him.
Okay.
All right.
I didn't care. I was just curious why, you know, you don't usually hear of finger injuries keeping people out that long. That's why it was so unique.
Well, that's the first I heard that it was a spiral fracture. I didn't know that. Those are serious injuries. So, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it's gnarly.
But anyways, yeah. I do like, I mean, it's great having him back and running a lot of those power formations. I mean, we've been clamoring for them to, you know, pound the run game like crazy. Yeah. They finally did it this week.
We've definitely seen the advantage of having him back and not having Nelson across from Sewell.
But having Decker sign long-term, Sewell on his rookie first year of his rookie contract. Ragnow just signed a long term. This, the O line of the future is promising. Well, the guards still a little maybe up in the air. On them,
you think Jonah Jackson? I don't know. I think he's definitely part of the future.
Maybe.
Jonah's. Yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
I don't think he's a superstar, but he's solid.
Yeah. I mean, he's still young, too. He's been
solid.
Getting better.
True.
And stronger.
Not down on him.
But I like him there. It's that Vitae is obviously just not the future.
No.
And that's where I'm curious to see what we'll do. Well, I mean, we got, you know, UJ's guy in the ranks warming up, maybe.
Stenberg.
Maybe he could.
I'm so bummed he got hurt because I think we'd be seeing him before the season was out. But we'll never know. So that's my pipe dream right there.
Yeah, I think so, too.
What are you going to do?
Lions receiving. TJ Hockenson didn't have a single catch in this game. I mean, 25 pass attempts only. And a lot of those didn't come to overtime. Amon-Ra St. Brown still looked good in the limited amount of catches that we did see.
Yeah, he had a couple
and
of
Raymond
catches.
Also looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Hawk, I love Hawk, but he did have a couple bad penalties in the game, too. So
yeah.
He did.
Not his best effort.
Our offense is.
He was up and down in the blocking.
He was the
game.
Worst graded player in the offense this week. Actually,
he had some good blocks, but he also had he just whiffed and just was all over the block. I don't know. He was mixed bag.
I mean, this whole
blocking.
I've been saying it's just like his run blocking has been disappointing so far in his career. It has not been to the elite level that we saw on the tape in college.
Good thing we took him as so high pick. Huh?
Let's not go there.
I know.
I'm still glad we have him on the team. I think he's all
no
like Hawk. I still like Hawk. I'm just messing.
Who else has hair like that? I mean,
best hair in the Lions?
I don't know.
All the other tight ends that came from Iowa.
Anzalone probably has nicer hair because it's like smoother and silkier. And Hawkins is like all
frizzy,
like kind of gnarly and messed up. But I don't know.
Hawk's a football
this
guy.
This is an entertainment. Head and shoulders.
Hawkins is a football guy. He doesn't have time to take care of his hair. No, it's just
exactly.
Probably washes it once a month. Connor. Like it does the job.
Good point.
It does the job.
Good point.
Thank you. So I mean, but focusing back on Dan Campbell taking over the offensive play calling this week. That doesn't sound like Anthony Lynn's going
to
be around.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I always just crack up when we say something really stupid and then you try to react to it and you just can't. It just kills me. I'm sorry. So that being said, go ahead with
Anthony Lynn, right? You don't like him anymore?
I mean, I don't know. If you recall, I was, you know, questioning some of especially the short down play calling that we had in the past few weeks. The Lions, I do like the ballsiness going for 4th and 1. Like, what is it, on their own 30 in this game?
Fullback dive. That was
ballsy play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Straight fullback. Like, it doesn't need to be fancy sometimes. Sometimes just hitting right up off the middle. Like, none of this weird passing BS going on.
Yeah, especially when you have Goff at quarterback.
Yeah, but, I mean, what do we think of Dan Campbell's play calling in this game in his first instance? He said it was a collaborative effort, blah, blah, blah. But if the offensive coordinator gets the play calling taken away from him,
that's not a good sign.
You can sugarcoat it all you want. It's not good.
I didn't think it was all that bad. I wish he would have pushed it deep to Raymond more after they showed they could do it. And he misses once, and then we never
tried. Well, he showed he couldn't do
it. Game.
Well, I'd say my one, go ahead. I'm
he
sorry.
Got hit as he was throwing and he underthrew a little bit, but like Raymond.
The apologists are out.
I'm just saying Raymond clearly could take the top off. If he pushed it deeper, he has him there. What?
Right, but he couldn't throw it, is the point. That is,
he got hit as he was throwing that time, though.
He waited too long to throw it.
No.
Oh, my God.
Look at that.
I'm saying it's worth trying again, though, just because
he got hit after
time,
he threw it, not he, during
he
the throw.
He throws that 3 feet further, and it's possibly a touchdown. I'm just saying.
He needs to throw that 10 yards further, not 3
ideally,
feet.
Ideally, yes. But I'm,
no.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean,
anyway, you go back to the play calling, though, Z.
We could do it if we did it executed better.
I think Campbell came up with a great game plan in this game, and it worked until the fourth quarter when they realized that we weren't going to pass the ball. Yeah. They just shut down the run, and we did not adjust to that. So I critique Campbell on that. But
right.
Overall, I like his game plan.
I mean, they set it up in overtime in that nice 30-yard throw that we had over the middle because the linebacker was no way they're throwing it, right? He's just selling out all on the run and then distorting himself.
Yeah.
Just need a little bit more of that in the first quarter.
I mean,
quarter.
Yeah, I don't envision him being like a permanent play caller. What really this tells me is that he, one, has lost some faith in Anthony Lynn, and two, he has very little faith in Jared Goff. Both those things are concerning if they're going to be, you know, pieces of the future. So I don't think it's going to be a permanent role for Dan Campbell. Like, I think ideally he's going to find another OC that will call plays, but he did okay.
I'm not sold on that idea, Connor. I think he might fall in love with the role, and he might have an offensive coach come in and help him.
I don't know,
but
that's not really why we brought him in. So we'll see. But
we brought him in to win, and it's how he does it.
That's
just
not the type of coach
he feels. That's the way.
So it would be a 180 on the initial vision we had for him.
Yeah, but I mean that's a fine too because he's never been a head coach before, so he's got to figure out what that looks like.
At least he's not locked into doing one thing.
Exactly.
Which is good. And I personally think the game plan was decent. I mean, they did enough to win. They missed on a chip shot field goal. You know, I mean, relatively chip shot is 45 yards, whatever. They were set up to win the game.
They were.
And they just.
They were.
Hey, Connor, though, I do have to agree with you on that. It's kind of a strange sell to come in and be like, I'm not the X's and O guy. And then, like, halfway through the season, take over the play.
That's all I mean. Yeah. Like,
I mean, I do agree with
that. I'm not saying he's going to be bad at it. It's just, like, not why he was initially brought in. So you got to think about that.
True. True that. But I think he shows a unique blend of imagination and guts, though, compared to a lot of coaches I've seen. I mean, going forward and forth a lot, doing trick plays. And, I mean, look at that game plan. Pittsburgh wasn't ready for that extra lineman in there. They did not prepare for it. They couldn't handle it for three quarters. I mean, I don't know. Campbell's he's an interesting mind, and no one really knows how to interpret him yet. So,
the one thing he couldn't get going in that game was the screen. They were destroying our screen passes every single time. They were getting in way too fast. And still managing to cover our, you know, the release guy on the screen.
Because it was the only pass that we'd run.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it's game planning, and part of it is Pittsburgh's a pretty good team, and we were on the road, and our team is really not very good right now as far as personnel.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
They were also playing, they were overloading with blitzes constantly, and they were playing the run on the way to the quarterback so that when we did do play action, he'd be like, not handing the ball off and then turning around to find a linebacker in his lap a lot. That was like our pass blocking kept breaking down constantly because they were sending so much pressure and they did not adjust to that well.
It's still a work in progress. If I told you, it's an interesting stat, who has more touchdowns since week 5, Jared Goff or Cam Newton? It's
Cam Newton.
They're tied, actually. Goff has won one touchdown since week 5.
That's a rough stat.
That's brutal. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's gotten worse consistently throughout this season.
I know.
What's up with him?
I know we'll just keep talking about Goff.
It'd be nice if we get him receivers. I'm curious to see if this Josh Reynolds adds anything to help him because he played better when he had Cephas or Tyrell Williams to throw to.
The thing that upsets me most about Goff is I think is just his pocket presence or awareness. It's horrendous. It's so bad. Yeah. He runs into his own sack so much, it creates his own problems.
I think he has a delusion. He's delusional because he thinks he can outrun like safeties who are blitzing. Like he turns to run from them instead of throwing the ball away.
Like what was it in the overtime? There was a free blitzer and he just runs backwards 7 more yards. Like just take the sack. Just take the sack. Don't run backwards 7 more yards when we're. It makes it a 3rd and 12 to a 3rd and 20. So
he seems to be suffering through a confidence crisis really bad now.
It's all in his head. He is mentally just locked up somehow. I don't know what if he's salvageable. That's going to be up to him. But
he needs like Tony Robbins to come and hypnotize him or whatever.
Because I still think that's one thing Schwartz did for Stafford, and I've said it before is. Schwartz set up Stafford to be a gunslinger and always encouraged him to just keep slinging the rock when he was with us. And that I think that helped him develop into what he has become, you know, to be able to confidently push the ball down the field all the time.
There is something to be said for that because Goff needs to throw it downfield more. Yeah. He has to.
He's just scared.
And he's just not doing it. And I don't know if it's because of him. He's afraid. Or if he just can't read fast enough, or I don't know what the answer is.
We've clearly seen it in his past. He's been able to. He's physically capable of doing it. Something else is going on.
But we haven't seen it in his past. That was one of the reasons that Sean McVay wanted to get rid of him is that he wouldn't take the shots downfield.
I'm saying though, but he has something done changed it that year. He was went to the Super Bowl. He was slinging the rock as good as anybody in the NFL that year. Oh. And.
But he wasn't slinging it in this Pittsburgh game. He was throwing wobbly balls and
he's
short
not
balls.
He was averaging like a yard in the air or something.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, like a yard
it's
and a
terrible.
Half.
Terrible.
Something like that, yeah.
We need that shrink from Ted Lasso to come in on the team, you know, and talk to him.
This is the second maybe week in a row you've talked about shrinks.
Well, you know, I think there's something to be said for the profession.
We are drinking Kool-Aid,
Yeah.
And if you have a shrink, can you send me their number? Because I need one after that game.
All right. Here's to all the shrinks out there.
Don't shrink my head.
Work hard. Keep going.
Hey, I'm just happy it wasn't a loss, guys. Yeah, right. I don't know about you.
I'm not.
Honestly, I was just happy to see a drag out battle in which our team actually went toe to toe with one of the other tougher teams in the NFL and our defense. And our run game, we were able to keep up with them.
A team missing their starting quarterback, though.
Really should have won that game if we just had a PAT.
You're right. Going back to the defense, the defense was fun to watch in this game. They were actually fun to watch.
Do you know who was the highest graded player in this game per PFF? I know PFF, controversial, whatever. It's just a point of – it's a talking point, okay?
Defense or offense?
Defense.
And defense.
Defense.
Tracy Walker.
I'm going to say
He was third. He was third best. Jacobs, actually second worst.
Anzalone.
Mark Gilbert, backup cornerback.
Mark Gilbert!
Yeah. He saved himself with that fumble, man.
Yes, he did.
I love it.
So great hustle. Hustle. Charles Harris is second, actually. His best game of the year, too, in terms of the – especially the run defense.
He's just going to get off blocks.
He's a good player. Harris
is a good player. He's been good.
Yeah, Will Harris easily his best game of the season.
That fumble at the end was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trey Flowers came back out and scooped it up.
You see the Pittsburgh, the whole stadium is like numb after that.
Oh,
fumble.
Hey, that's one thing we need to talk about. Has anyone seen a more distraught group of people than when TJ Watt was hurt? Like, you thought someone just got murdered on the field, the way, like, how solemn everyone suddenly became, like, the fans.
Seriously.
It was very quiet. It was very quiet.
It was, and, like, the faces they were making and stuff, it was just like, oh, my God.
Women were wailing.
Existential crisis for these people.
And did you guys see Sewell, like, chirping at the crowd and then, like,
I did.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I love that guy. He's got what they're trying to build. I see where they draft him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he gets down the field on blocks and stuff. He moves so well out there.
Yeah, he's been so fun to watch. He was our highest graded offensive player this week. So I mean, he did not lose it. And that was going against TJ Watt a lot in this game too. So.
That transition was nothing to worry about, Big Z. Nothing to worry about.
Your worries could be put to rest.
I always worry about him.
Like a parent, if he doesn't call when he's down, are you home yet?
Exactly.
It's because he cares.
Exactly.
He's a Deshaun, helicopter mom of fans.
How about Deshaun Hand? He went from like obviously being on the IR to playing 67 snaps in this game.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I noticed him getting a decent amount of pressure. He didn't, you know, get off the blocks either to get to the quarterback, but he was out there pushing the pockets.
Didn't seem like he made a lot of tackles, though. I don't know what his stats were on that game, but I don't know.
So Deshaun Hand had one tackle in this game and two hurries.
Yeah.
So not big on the stat sheet in this one for him.
It's still nice to see him out there and play a whole game. I mean, that's progress right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Ali McNeil only played 15 snaps in this game.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was unusual, I thought.
86 defensive snaps in this game. That's a lot of snaps.
I know they played. Yeah. That game was like 90% Pittsburgh offense versus Detroit Lions defense.
That was one of the
Herculean tasks that they didn't score more.
That was one of the more wild overtimes you'll see that had no results in the end, though. So.
With all the
turnover, snap over the head,
right?
Sacks going backwards, penalties, just all good stuff.
It was nice not to have an opposing team's backup quarterback come in and have a career day. Finally,
hey, that's progress.
That is progress. Yeah.
We actually handled the backup quarterback like that.
Right.
Nice.
Hey, and as Lions fans, when they were lining up to kick that game-winning field goal, how confident?
Not at all confident.
Oh, not very confident.
I wasn't very confident.
Well, after he missed, earlier PAT.
Yeah, no. Not at
all.
Yeah,
I still didn't expect to see what I saw.
That was so bad. I thought it was going to go like wide, but it didn't even come close to making it.
It was a weird kick. I don't know. His snap was good. The hold was good.
And he didn't
slip. No one got a hand on it either. It just
it's hard to really identify where it went so wrong.
I mean, it went wrong with his bookie.
I don't know if you guys saw the Saints game today, but they lost by 2 points, and their kicker missed two extra points in that game.
Oh, my gosh.
Arguably worse, because they were down two when they scored the tying the touchdown to get down by two, but because he missed the second extra point, they had to go for two at the end and couldn't get that either. So they missed 3 point after touchdowns, I guess.
So kicking is kind of important.
Yeah,
I guess.
Isn't there
underrated.
A kicker coming out? See, who's like the punter, kicker, and like kickoff.
I forgot his name, but the guy from San Diego State. If you haven't seen him yet, he has a couple times this year kicked the ball in the air 90 yards. Like in the air.
Jeez.
He kicked it from the back of his end zone into the other end zone. Not on the fly. That one hit the 10, then rolled in, but still.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Is he accurate?
Matareza. He's also the kicker and the kickoff specialist on that team too. And he just won like with a 50-yard field goal the other day.
So we draft him to be our field goal kicker and then you can back up Fox on the kick punting duty.
I hate to say it, but Fox came down to earth a little bit in this game. He was kind of like average in this game.
Yeah, I didn't really pin him inside the 20 at all.
No.
When they had that.
I wonder if that's
not
like
one of his best games.
The ball's just getting like saturated with water or something, because that he just didn't have the power he normally has.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Weird game.
If anyone's earned the right to a bad game, it's him. You know, I'm not going to beat him up too much.
Yeah.
We got to give him a flyer once. Yeah, for sure.
And if you weren't a fan of either team, it was just an ugly game to watch.
I know. I wish it was we could say our defense also played so great because their offense, you know, was good, but we beat them. But their offense wasn't playing exactly great either.
But just as a Lions. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, neutral fans are probably very glad there wasn't a second overtime, because that was just miserable for everyone.
Yeah.
It's probably true.
I still hate these tie rules. Why is there a tie in the regular season?
There should never be a tie. There should not be a tie.
What should the NFL do? Should they do like what college did, switch to?
They
like,
should do a field goal kickoff, you know, like pig. But
there
you
go.
Lost this game then.
I'd rather go the college.
No,
rule.
I'm kidding. Should definitely be the college rules. I was kidding.
I mean, how exciting was Illinois and Penn State, right? When they went 9 overtime.
Yeah.
That was
especially because Penn State lost.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was just a great game. It was exciting. I mean, why can't the NFL have something like that? Ties are just horrible.
It wouldn't fit.
It'll leave a good taste in anybody's
formula,
mouth at the end.
It's the whole NFL scheduling thing. Yeah, like you said.
They need it to be formulaic 3-hour games. That's their formula. I don't get it. When you can have the best experiences every
right.
with you know, overtimes.
You don't get it. It's about money.
And going, but doing that extra bit of overtime doesn't take that long to do.
I know.
No,
I
it doesn't.
It's resolved pretty quickly. Unless you're going to more commercials or something like that.
No, a game should be over, and there should be a clear winner one way or the other, period. No ties.
Yeah.
Ties are bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like soccer. Like soccer ties. Jesus.
Well, our winning season's out the door, but we could still get a 500 season, guys.
There you go. There we go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
With Jared Goff at quarterback the rest of the way?
If the other teams stop playing run defense.
Is it Blau time in your scenario where we win eight straight games?
Boil. The water's starting to boil in Detroit.
Defense will just have to, the defense will just have to do it themselves.
They're going to get like seven turnovers a game. And Goff's
well, the Lions will be traveling to Cleveland this weekend. They're 10-point underdogs. Yeah. That's a Cleveland team that just lost by 37 to the Patriots.
Yeah, they got smoked.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield's playing on like one leg and one arm right now. So
I'm sure we'll get to play them. They're going to play much better when they play us.
I don't know.
We'll find
we might
out.
Be catching them at a good time. You never know.
You never know.
Baker like Mayfield versus Jared Goff, the quarterback battle of the century. If Baker's healthy, I don't even know.
Well, yeah. Right after the great quarterback battle of Mason Rudolph and Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Truly.
All right, gentlemen.
Boy.
I think we'll wrap it up here. But, you know, a lot to talk about. Thanksgiving is coming up next week, too, so that's exciting. I'll get to watch the Lions on Thanksgiving. Everybody's favorite team.
Yeah, baby.
Everybody tells me that I just love watching the Lions on Thanksgiving at 11 o'clock. My favorite team to watch.
No Mitch Trubisky to worry about this time.
No, just Justin Fields now.
Just Justin Fields.
Yeah, and Zach likes Justin Fields. It's weird.
I know. You think he's like Joe Montana.
Hating.
Yeah.
So from hating the last guy, now he loves the new guy.
It's all that Bears sports talk he listens to. It's been getting to his head. Got to keep weighing him off of it.
He played good.
Kind of unhealthy.
He played good.
Kind of unhealthy.
Zach paces his bedroom often at night saying, should we have taken Fields? I don't know.
You're telling me you wouldn't rather see Fields out there than Jared Goff throwing the ball? God.
Well, I'd rather see anyone out there than
but
Jared
I'd rather
Goff.
See
That's
Sewell.
Comparison.
I'd rather see Sewell at tackle for us than Justin Fields.
I'd rather see Eric Kipple come out of retirement.
Yeah,
maybe.
So we'll get Eric Ridder or someone like that in the draft this year, and then we'll have a quarterback.
Yeah, do we have to use a quarterback? Can we just have a running back? Yeah, all the time?
Hey,
we
maybe.
Got like four
there
good
you go.
Ones.
So. There's an idea.
We'll just run there's the. An idea. How about the triple option? Let's go to triple option.
There you go.
Yeah,
like, have another weapon out there instead of Goff.
Right. Well, the Lions haven't scored more than 20 points since week one of this season. So let's hope.
Man, we could just run Wildcat the rest of the year. I don't see why the Bears do it sometimes. I can't wait.
Yeah, they
let's model ourselves on the Bears.
Yeah,
Can Swift throw the ball?
Yeah.
Can Swift throw the ball?
Why not?
Ooh, yeah, make sure. The guy that does it all.
Yeah. All right. So.
Yeah, all right. We digress.
That's what we do.
Us digress?
Right.
No.
All right, gentlemen. So I think that's going to wrap it up here. Twitter at Drinking Lions, Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Please follow us on there. Let us know what your thoughts are on this team, the future of the team, and, you know, just your thoughts on the last game. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, and please leave a review. Also, greatly appreciate that. Otherwise, we'll be back later this week previewing week 11 against the Cleveland Browns. We traveled to, traveled to Cleveland. So, two fan bases that have just a rich history of football.
A rich history.
Wow.
Misery.
Right. Yeah.
What do they call the one video that went viral for them, the Factory of Sadness in Cleveland?
Probably one of the best videos ever made.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, gentlemen. Last but not least, as always, go!
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 Go.
Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain. a Lions victory.